Yeah. I'm streaming now. All right.
You talking? Oh.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. On timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Had some technical difficulties, you know, but I'm glad that we got those squared away. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. And I'm hoping that I'm being clear. And those, let me see this. Okay, I guess I'm being clear. Hope so. Man, I tell you. And what's ironic about this is that I was just thinking how I haven't had a technical problem with this system for months, you know, everything has been flowing smoothly. And man, since I thought of it, this is what happens. Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if I, Baba Butch.
Yeah.
All right. How do I sound to you, brother?
You sound like you always sound beautiful.
All right. I appreciate it. All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you, man. Hang on. Okay. Appreciate you, man.
Okay.
All right.
You got it.
All right. That's a confirmation. So we're off and running. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must get done, you got it done. Yeah. All right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, just go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated entitled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, brother. You know it. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and all times are Eastern times. On Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bamani Taimba, Africa for the Africans. And he's about to take a group of our people on a tour in a minute, very soon, a couple of days, November 20th to December 2nd, November 20th to December 2nd, going to Kemet. Then January 30th through December 10th, Azania, South Africa. And it's, there's a discount, it was $4,800, now it's $4,500 for $300. So it's $4,500 to go to Azania, South Africa. April 4th through April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 20th to December 1st, 2025, Tanzania. And of course, everything is on the website, brothers and sisters. If you are not, if you don't want to go on one of the trips that is that are posted, but you want to go to Africa or someplace else, all the information is right there on the website. Even if you want to go to Caribbean or whatever, South America, the information in terms for you to get the documentation is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshaw Incorporated, Habeshaw. Oh, let me backtrack. If you want to see pictures of previous tours on Brother Bomani Tayemba, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. So there's documentation, physical documentation of what those trips entails. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And we can't speak enough about the great work that the brothers and sisters of Habeshaw Corporate are doing, their programs of Habeshaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Urban Green Jobs, Sustainable Seeds, you know, just great projects from Habeshaw Incorporated.org. Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. It works in the four areas of human necessity, human essentials, which are food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. And you go to his page, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com, and check out for yourself. My understanding, he's still in Kenya doing work. But once he comes back stateside, so to speak, we'll definitely have a conversation with him. TheMinisterOfWellness.com. SMI Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. SMI Pharmacy. Brother Jabril and his family's lovely wife. Their website has been updated. Check it out. They have so much on it. Unbelievable. So you can go to smipharmacy@gmail.com. Send them a line. Send them an email. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. The phone number is 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smi Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation. Go to the MosesWestFoundation.org. And see for yourself the great work that is being done. The donations. Brother, he's not looking for investors. He's looking for donations. He's looking for donations. Because it's not something that you can invest in. It's not commodified. It's something that is a necessity, that is vital to human existence. Clean water. They have a current mission to provide clean water for North Carolina. The Moses West Foundation is preparing to deploy an atmospheric water generator, the AWG 5000, to address severe water shortages in western North Carolina following Hurricane Helene. We are seeking support for critical resources to overcome logistical challenges, including gaining access to impacted areas and ensuring the efficient delivery of clean water. Assistance with fuel, transportation equipment, and essential supplies is vital for us to navigate the current conditions and restore water access. If you go online to the MosesWestFoundation.org, and you'll see what he's talking about, how bad it is, how deeply the flooding and the hurricane, the damage that was done, the roads and so forth. So, the Moses West Foundation. Go to the MosesWestFoundation.org. All right. All right, family. Well, Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on the West End here in Atlanta, 878 Ralph DeBitt Avenue Ethnic Boulevard. The phone number to call is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. The Medu Books open from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday from 12 to 6. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta. Take I-20 going east. Get off and exit 74. Make a left. Now you're headed north. And about a mile and a half is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Okay, my good brother Kazemdia Jamu is the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Head back in your car. Go back the opposite direction. Now you're headed south. Still make a left. Now you're still headed east. And the next exit, exit 75. Turner Hill Road, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. I know they're gearing up for Kwanzaa. Had a good time last year. Kwanzaa, thanks to Mama Nabantu and the work she does. Appreciate Mama Nabantu so much. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They have a Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us. They also have a phone number that you can call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns. That's just dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah is not open on Mondays, but from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., he's open. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. You want to give Brother Abijah a call because he's got it all. I mean, he's got it all in his place. He's packed. He has furniture. He has clothing. He even has a vegan restaurant. CDs, DVDs, African jewelry. Man. Brother Abijah's number is 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Yeah. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Contact Sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby. Been doing great work with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go online. Go to Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. SONJAY-HAITI.org. All right, family. Baba Barudi and Mama Ya, they had the kibuka. This weekend, unfortunately, I was unable to attend. I know it was moving, very serious. I know it was moving. And Akaban Institute, I always promote them because Akaban Institute, what they do in educating our children, this is a serious African-educated institution. Serious. If you want to participate and support them, Akaban Institute, go to PayPal and go to Yah mbarudi@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, you can put the dollar sign in, mbarudi for Cash App. Also, too, if you want to get some of the books that Baba Barudi, who's a prolific writer, go to akabinhouse.com. akabinhouse.com. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. November 17th. Children are the only future of any people. If the children's lives are squandered, and if the children of a people are not fully developed at whatever cost and sacrifice, the people will have co-signed themselves to certain death. Our great sister, ancestor, Frances Cress Welsing. Especially under the circumstances in which we find ourselves, I am surprised at the number of endorsements applauding the information and knowledge possessed by individuals who are experts about our children's lives. Having studied our situation for decades, these knowledgeable individuals will articulate their inevitable situation. The disturbing part is that their words are almost never directly and actively applied to improving the lives of our children. These experts claiming to be warriors should know better, because we know that there is no such thing as an intelligence without conscious, concrete application. This direct connection between head and hands has always been our tradition. In fact, to think and not use those thoughts in service to the community is not considered thinking. Such barren contemplation has always been seen as mere stupidity. So, all of the grand pronouncements, treaties, and about the plight of our children and future means nothing if concrete corrective action is not uncompromisingly transformed into action designed to save them at whatever cost and sacrifice. If their lives are squandered and our future as a people ruined, then ignorance is not to blame. The only possible cause, given Yoruba's centuries of systematically suppressing our children's genius, thereby keeping every coming generation down, could be our fear of what Yoruba would think and do to us if we did what is required to save them. Deep. Well, affirm, ensure that our children's lives are not squandered. Affirm, I ensure that our children's lives are not squandered. November 18th. It is good character that is man's guard. The bad people, or people of evil character, are those who fear needlessly, for it is their sin that haunts them and causes them to fear needlessly. J.A. Sofala. Character is found in following established traditions of what makes righteous people in creation's eyes. It is understood within the context of knowing that the millions of us who become honored ancestors pass down the best expression of our humanity for us to emulate. Character is developed through following established traditions because we recognize the value of time-tested wisdom and the inevitable ignorance and arrogance of youth. And by youth, we are referring to both age and time. For as our children are youth to us, we are merely children to our ancestors. We know that those who come before us know more about who we are than us, and we are neither intimidated nor made insecure by this fact. Character becomes meaningfully defined and positioned to the transfer to the coming generations when it is molded through the rules, rights, and thought processes that our ancestors left for us to shape in the African way. To observe tradition is to build character, because we are following what has been proven generation after generation after generation. Affirm, I am well guarded. Affirm, I am well guarded. Character, I say. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, brothers and sisters, it is a good day. I hope you're going to have a good week. Going to do some good things, positive things. This past weekend, of course, I went to the presentation by Brother Dr. Heru. And it was a very good presentation. And talking about the history of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, and announcing the ASCAC conference, January 24th, 25th, and 26th. Next year, it's January. Yeah. In Columbus, Ohio. Man, oh, she stopped it. In Columbus, Georgia. The Southern Region Annual Conference held in Columbus, Georgia from January 24th to the 26th. And it's going to be great. It's a three-day conference, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Friday is a greeting. On Saturday is workshops and presentations. And on Sunday, we pay homage to Dr. John Henry Clark. We're going to go around the city of Columbus, Georgia, and then we'll stop at his gravesite and pour libation and make a presentations and words. We did this when I first came to Atlanta about 10 years ago. And Mama Marimba was with us and many others. And, yep, ASCAC, Southern Region, Southeast Region. And we're going to do it again, January 24th to the 26th, 2025, Columbus, Georgia, paying homage to the memory, the work of Dr. John Henry Clark. ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. You know, think about what ASCAC has done and remembering that ASCAC. And I'm hoping everybody, you know, will gear up for that ASCAC conference, particularly for those who are in this region. If you're in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, you know, even Kentucky, Mississippi, Alabama, ASCAC, Southeast Region, Florida, that those brothers and sisters will come to the conference. I put ASCAC in a special place because we need to know who we are and what we've done. ASCAC has done that. And all the other scholars before ASCAC was formed, the foundation, of course, of ASCAC is Dr. Clark, Malana Karinga, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. There's, let me see, a couple of others who were fundamental in starting ASCAC with these brothers. And then, of course, they had the big, I didn't know until this past weekend when Brother Dr. Heru did the presentation. Over 1,500 of us. I know it was a lot. Took that pilgrimage to Kemet and had their presentations done there. And I know those Arabs were just shaking in their boots, you know. But reason why it's necessary because even though Dr. Sheikh Ansar Dajab in 1974, along with Theophilia Obenga, Dr. Theophilia Obenga, argued most persuasively. I mean, they kicked their ass. They came with evidence and more evidence. And they were the only two Africans at the symposium. Because everybody else was European or Arab or Caucasian, you know, that had anything to say, and they had nothing to say, okay? Because everything that they had to say would have been shot down. They won the debate. They won the debate, but yet and still to this very day, they still, when you see movies, when you see documentaries, National Geographic, Learning Channel, Public Broadcasting, PB, all of that, today, they still, when they present ancient Kemet, they still See, and understand something too, dear brothers and sisters. I constantly make a distinction between Kemet and Egypt. Egypt is when the invasion happened. That's Egypt. Egypt is a Greek word. Egypt is a Greek word. Now, the Greeks studied at our feet. Everything was cool, but we didn't know it. We didn't know these were some evil people, that they would come back as conquerors and then put their faces on all the things that we did and claim the greatness of Kemet. We didn't understand that because the kind of people that we are. The kind of people we are, I guess, in our understanding that we were the first humans, and so we always feel that other humans are alike. But we didn't understand that these humans in their evolutionary development in that harsh, cold environment became cold and callous and indifferent and evil-spirited, mean-spirited, murderous. We don't understand that. And it's still that way today. It's still that way today. Because why? Because today that's how they present it. And the Arabs that are there that came in with the spread of Islam across North America, they claim it. They claim Kemet. They said it is theirs. All the achievements. I haven't seen it in my Facebook in a little while, but there was this cat, he would come on, he would talk about all the great things, and he's saying all this Afrocentrism, all this African-centered, is bull, you know, they are lying, you know, this is ours. And of course they make, they look at some of the old images and they try to put their face on and they see, so you see how this looks, this look, this is us. But I think that's one thing about the beauty of Kemet. And the beauty of Africans, we put our face on it. It's undeniable. It is us. It is who we are. It is what we have done. And it is what we continue to do. Yeah. Let me get a caller in here. Let me get Brother Ted Luss. Brother Luss, how you doing?
Finding yourself up, Oshie. Good morning and good morning to the listening audience.
All right. And it was great. Yeah, to
It was a pleasure taking that little trip.
Yeah.
And to see some interesting faces and listen to Dr. Sintheprenra for the little that I did manage to make it there. But it has provided for me an incentive for January 24th through 26th of 2005. So I look forward to that.
Let's be there, brother. Let's be there for ASCAC. I'll be there. Brother Kwaku will be there, many others. So we look forward to seeing you, man. That was great to see. Man, when you walked to that door, man, my heart just jumped. I was like, wow. Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't look too beat. I hope I didn't look too beat because I just that's a 2.5-hour trek.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So after having a work day, you had to rent the vehicle, you have to do other preliminary things. I hope I didn't look too beat or
no, bro,
or
you looked on time.
In my presence.
Yeah, you looked
but,
on time.
But I made it. Yeah, and I made it there, and also made it back home as well. It was
beautiful.
A pleasure to be in your midst.
Yeah, and I'm glad you made it back home because I was definitely me and Kwaku praying for traveling grace for you because you know it was kind of late and I. You know, I hope you, and you did. You got home about 1 o'clock or so, right?
Yeah, right.
1:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, dear brother. Thank you so much, man.
Well,
I appreciate you always listening.
You're so very welcome.
There. All right, my brother.
And thank you so very much, especially for the other brothers and sisters who were in the house, especially the sisters who complimented us as black men.
Right on. That was cool. Yes.
Yeah. That sense of protection
right.
that we provided that she and the other sisters who were maybe few in number but definitely felt secure.
That's
and
right.
I, that really was a hum make sure that I ride back home on. All righty.
All right, dear brother. Thank you, brother. Ted Love, thank you. Hotel.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. We're going to talk about Africa. Got a piece I'm going to read from about Africa, you know, that I picked up. And Africa. Africa is not uncivilized. Africa has a legacy of innovation, brilliance, and unmatched civilization. Listen up, men and women. Let's get the record straight. Africa is not uncivilized. Anyone perpetuating this lie either lacks knowledge or is intentionally ignoring the facts of history. Africa is the cradle of civilization, a continent whose contributions to the world in science, architecture, governance, art, culture are immeasurable. The narrative that Africa is backward is nothing more than propaganda designed to suppress the truth about our legacy. Let me break it down. The Kemetic pyramids, an unsolved marvel. Well, yes, they're still unsolved, but there is, as I mentioned at the ASCAC informational piece about what's going to be happening with ASCAC, January 24th through the 26th, you know, our civilization of ASCAC, no, our civilization of Kemet, and once again, as I stated earlier, I make a distinction between Kemet and Egypt. If I'm talking about pyramids, I'm talking about classical African civilization, I'm talking about Kemet. If I talk about the incidents of plagiarization and theft and usurping and putting their face, I'm talking about Egypt. I'm talking about like a Dr. Awas who says Egypt was never a black civilization. Never. You know, I can't stand Dr. Awas. Yeah. So we're talking about Kemet. When we talk about ancient ingenuity, nothing rivals the great pyramids of Kemet. Built over 4,500 years ago, these architectural marvels remain an enigma. Western scientists, architects, and engineers have yet to replicate or fully understand how these massive structures were constructed with such precision. The pyramids align perfectly with celestial constellations, feature advanced engineering techniques, and were built with stones weighing up to 80 tons. And of course, 1 ton is 2,000 pounds. You know, so you're talking about 80 tons, that's 160 pounds. 160,000 pounds. Hauled over hundreds of miles without modern machinery. Who did this? Africans. Because Kemet is in Africa, northeast portion of Africa. It's just like there's no such thing as the Middle East. That was also Africa. The knowledge of mathematics, astronomy, and engineering required to create monuments of light years ahead of its time. Well, I stated that and I've been promoting this and I will continue to do so, the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019. If you check out Great Pyramid K 2019, they'll tell you who built the pyramids, Africans, and they'll tell you how they were built. Because the tools that they had copper tools. And you can't cut stone that perfectly with those copper tools. It is impossible. Those stones are perfect. it has been acknowledged and admitted that they're perfect. You can't even get a piece of paper through them, and yet they were laid there from end to end. There is no mortar. There is no cement. There's nothing. It's stone next to each other and on top of each other, next to each other and on top of each other, constantly building to the point of the apex, descending. Well, of course, there are more pyramids in the Sudan, older than Kemet. It's just that the ones in Kemet, particularly at the Giza Plateau, were the manifestation of the marvel and ingenuity of African people. You know, and the fact that once the pyramids were constructed, they put a limestone covering over the pyramid. So once they reached the apex, then they started going down with the limestone covering. For those three pyramids and the other pyramids in the mastabas, limestone covering. Earthquake is reported to have, they withstood the earthquake, but they did not withstand the limestone covering being broken away off of it. And also, too, in Islam, when Islam did come on the scene, they also took the limestone coverings that was possibly still there off of the pyramids, because they had no respect for that. They didn't understand that. They took the limestone covering off, and they built a mosque, housing, and so forth. The limestone. So when you talk about bling, polished limestone, white limestone, when the sun hit that, bam, you know, yeah. This is Kemet, not Egypt. This is Kemet, land of the blacks, not Egypt. So when you go to the documentary, it explains how they were built and who built them. The documentary says clearly who built them: Africans, dark skin, melanated. You could not have worked for all those many years. You know, they have a three season. They don't have a four season. They have the inundation, the planting, and the harvest. The inundation. After the inundation, the flooding deposits that black fertile earth along its banks. That's when they do the planting. And then the harvest. Because they live on a desert. They had to feed hundreds of thousands of people along that strip of the Nile River. And so, the brothers and sisters of ancient Kemet, and they were not slaves. Let me repeat. You see in movies, particularly more contemporary movies, that these pyramids and these temples and these tombs were built by African slaves. No, they were built by the Kemetic people for the pharaohs and the gods and righteousness, and they were paid. And the work was outstanding. You see that. I've been to Kemet. In fact, when we're driving to go see the laser light show that they have for all the tourists, and you're in the bus, and the laser light show, of course, it only can be done at night, and so you see at dusk the outline, the silhouette, and they look perfect, because they were perfectly constructed. And so how do they do it? The Giza Plateau had plenty of limestone, caustic soda, all the things to mix. And so when the flooding happened, it provided the water to do the mixing, to make those blocks of stone. Some of those blocks of stone, just as it said in what I read to you, They were 10 ton, 20 ton, 30 ton, and more. 30 tons is 6,000. One ton is 2,000 pounds. 60,000 pounds. There was no, they didn't go down or up river. That's up. When you are going down, that's up, because the river flows from south to north. So when you go north, that's down river. So they had to go up river, supposedly to where the quarries were, cut the stone, shaping it, so forth, get it ready, pull the stone from that place onto a barge, and then sail it up down river. Sail it down river. And then take it from there and drag it, and then lift it and put it block by block until it reached a height of 481 feet. Brothers and sisters, the documentary will give you the logic about how it possibly could be done. And then when you look at the king's chamber, the queen's chamber, all that granite, and it's cut perfectly. How could that happen? I just said to you, they had copper tools. They did not have the tools necessary to cut it like that. Go to someone's home and they got in their kitchens, more than likely, nice granite countertops. That middle island thing, they're usually a granite, cut cleanly, nice. They have amount of tools today to do that. They didn't have that then. But yet, you see in the king's chamber specifically, walls of granite. The sarcophagus is granite. The top of it is granite. How did that happen? Because they developed a solar disk. They developed a solar disk, and they melted chunks of granite and poured it. The whole pyramid was poured, all of it. There were lines, human lines of men taking the baskets of all the stuff that was made, mixed together, put it in the basket, go down and pour it in, take another one, pour it in, another one, until it got to the top, and then it kind of hardened. Then you take the mold off and put it on the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, to the next level, to the next level. That's how they did it. Check it out for yourself, family. Go to Great Pyramid K 2019. Now, granted, let me say this. It may not satisfy many people that's how it was done. That's fine. But giving you, an idea as opposed to giants. And if you are online, you see they have giants doing stuff. Some men who are so big and they can pick up the block of stone and put it there, or aliens. They can have these ships that can elevate or do things telepathically and elevate the stone and so forth. I don't know, brothers and sisters. A lot of times, if it's so far-reaching, I'm looking at or thinking about what is the logical way something was done? What was the logical way? And this provides that as far as I'm concerned. Once again, Great Pyramid K 2019 on YouTube. Go to YouTube, put in the search, and it will come up real easy. Great Pyramid. It might come up bam like that, but if you put in Great Pyramid K, it surely will. And it's 3.5 hours long. I'm quite sure you don't want to sit through 3.5 hours, but divide it up each day. 30 minutes each day, whatever. It's 3.5 hours long. I've sat through it a few times already, and I will sit through it again, because it speaks to me in terms of its logic about how it definitely could have been done. So we're going to come upon a break. We're going to come back and read the other portions the Benin Kingdom. Little excerpts and little pieces of how Africa has been the cradle of human civilization and all the achievements of African people. Yeah. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a break, family. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
Ain't no stopping us now. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Ain't no stopping us now, McFadden and Whitehead. Ain't no stopping us. And I played that because even though we're talking about Africa in its beginning and the fact that it's been always an innovator, it's always been in the forefront. It is the first, we are the first people, the first civilizations, the first ideas and concepts and so forth. But also, too, because we've done that before, we can do it again. Not that we do it the way we did it back then. No. Using whatever it is that we need of today to move ourselves forward, not as a people here in the diaspora, no, but on the continent. On the continent. You know, I love the brothers and sisters in the diaspora because that's where I am, but the bottom line is we must go home. We must go home. The whole idea of many of those African scholars is an understanding that we must return home, that we can never, under a system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, be able to be who we are and to be able to compete fairly, to be treated justly and righteously. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen, it ain't happening, and it's not going to happen. So, brothers and sisters, let us continue to prepare ourselves, educate ourselves, motivate each other to do what we must do to be a people again. And I'm going to tell you, there's so many things that held us down. The idea that what Caucasians have is better, their educational system, their religion, all of these things, we have to break ourselves. We have to take the chains off our minds. Here's another kingdom, the Benin Kingdom. Africa's advanced civilization. Now let's talk about Benin Kingdom. One of the most advanced civilizations in pre-colonial Africa, the Benin city walls, constructed between the 13th and 15th centuries, were an extraordinary feat of engineering stretching over 16,000 kilometers. They were described by the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's longest earthworks created before the mechanical era. These walls were a testament to the kingdom's advanced knowledge of urban planning, defense, and resource management. And let's not forget that the street lighting system of the Benin Kingdom, long before modern electricity, the kingdom used strategically placed oil lamps that illuminated street lights, illuminated nights. European visitors in the 15th century were astonished by the city's organization, cleanliness, and infrastructure. The British would later loot Benin artifacts during the invasion of 1897, including the famous Benin bronzes, masterpiece of craftsmanship that still baffle historians and metallurgists. Benin. You know, they kept calling us civil. Savages, no culture to speak of, no abilities, no nothing. But yet, in the museums, in the European museums, in Europe, in this country and others, our artifacts are there. All stolen. All of them stolen. Let me get my brother up in here. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Baba Oshie, good morning. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. You sound great. Last time we were on the phone together, you was breaking up on me, man. You sound great, brother. How you doing, man? How was your weekend?
Well, you know, bro, you know they got something on my phone when you speaking this revolutionary terminating talk, man. When you break them chains off your mm-hmm. mind.
That's right.
And realize that we've already won. Then there the fear comes in, because think about it, Baba Oshie. Rugal works off of fear.
Yeah.
Rugal doesn't have all the weapons. The Rugal just afraid to die as anybody else. But if you are afraid of a Rugal, then you won't do anything. You'll limit what you do. You only go so far.
Sure.
You know, and you're standing here going, we're just going to love him to death, and we'll beat him. We'll attack his moral consciousness. A Rugal has no moral consciousness.
That's right.
Stop. They live in a constant state of cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
I just read an article where Mally is debt free now.
Yeah.
Mally is debt free. That's all over the news, that Mally is debt free. And and now other African countries are going to follow suit.
No doubt.
Because that's what needs to happen, because once you become debt free, now you're taking the layers off, the chains off of your mind.
That's right.
I don't have to go along with homosexuality, because I'm not taking any money from you. I don't owe you anything.
Right.
Come on, Baba Oshie. And this is where neocolonialism works, where it looks like you can't see it. But the more I read from our ancestors, the more they left us an instruction book. And I'm not talking about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They left us instructions on the blueprint, the Black Power. They left us books to tell us how and what Irugu was doing to us and why we say the things we say. Baba Oshie, we don't say what we say just because we thought of it. We say it because we've been conditioned.
That's right.
We've been trained. Conditioned.
That's right.
Menticide. I didn't learn anything about that in school.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of things that have been excluded in my education, and as I've gotten older, I have more clarity. The God that I serve, and I notice I said the God. I didn't say anything about religion.
Mm-hmm.
I said God that I serve. Come on now, gives us clarity. He gives us clarity. Not he. I think the spirit. I think God is a spirit, not a he or she. I think God is a spirit. That's just my thought. I believe that God gives us clarity when it's appropriate. If I'd have got this when I was in high school, Baba Oshie, I wouldn't have got through high school. If I'd have got this when I was in college, I probably may not have gotten through college. But I got this when I was older, and I didn't have all those layers of oppression on my brain, because I'm trying to read my way out of this.
Right.
And I think reading my way out of it, I can spread that knowledge to a young person, young people, because the young people are going to do this for us. Baba Oshie, we're not going to see this without
eyes. We're not, brother. Not.
We're not going to.
No. But that's the thing. That's why, once again, the Inyash Sassim that I read this morning talked about teaching the young people. It is them that we have to influence them. But if you look at what we see here in America specifically, and I know Africa is not that far off either, the young people are whack. They are. It seems like we have allowed them or dissed them, and because we're worried about what's happening with us and getting what we feel is ours and so forth, that we have not educated them, we have not nurtured them, we have not guided them, you know. We have not shielded them from the ignorance and put them on the right path to be the kind of strong men and women that will come together until we can see the future of us. We young people are still hung up on material things, hung up on sex and drugs and so forth. I mean, I was talking to a brother when I was at the presentation of Dr. Heru Sentepera this past Friday? I think it was Friday. It was Friday. And talking with a brother I know, Brother Cedric, who was talking about him. He's a substitute teacher in the school system in Fulton County. That's the county that the majority of Atlanta is in. And he says, man, I sub in elementary, middle, and, of course, high school. And these kids are not, they don't have a clue. They're ill-prepared. They don't want, some of them just don't want to do it. I know they have to do it because it's a law. They'd rather not be there. They'd rather be somewhere else. They want to be, I mean, that's young men and young women, unfortunately. But that's not the whole of us, of course. I understand that. But that is a good majority of us. That is the rule. That's not the exception. The exception is those brothers and sisters who are doing what's right and have their right mind. That's the exception. And we need more of that. We need that to be the rule. We need that to be the majority of us. And it's not happening right now, you know. So, yeah, man.
Baba Oshi, when you said that, it made me think. My mind is going all over the place because I read so much, and I try not to get it confused, especially in the thing, in reading a lot of things. I understand where the young people are. The young people are bombarded with this whole individualism, this whole materialism, and the whole the me, not the Me Too movement, the me movement. And then when you see people, the Arugu highlights and their propaganda, I don't call it media, it's propaganda. Mm-hmm. You know it, and I know it. That's an ugly word, but that's what media is. Media wants you to think a certain way, buy certain things, eat certain foods, live in a certain area.
Right.
And they want you to think a certain way about your fellow man. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to call him an African or American African. They want you to call him a Negro. That's why it's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. These are Negroes. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Suddenly, constantly, Negroes constantly asking permission from white folks. That's what that basically is.
Right.
Because they believe that they're going to eventually wear this white culture. We're going to wear it down. If we just stay at it, we get another Obama, and if we actually could slide in this girl, a woman president, a black woman president, if we just do all this and just keep, eventually they're going to wake up one day and say, you know what? Love them black people. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because their love is for their creature comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Their love is for their white privilege.
Right.
Their love is for that Bentley they drive. I'm in California, so I see the amount of wealth that these people have. And I'm like, how did you get that generational wealth? Mm-hmm. You're not smart because you're in a Bentley, because your daddy stole something from somebody, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to forget that and look at you like you're some type of genius.
Right.
Donald Trump is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the rest of that, he's surrounding himself with idiots. And those idiots are going to do some things that are going to, that white people are going to love, and some things that white people are going to despise. But he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do what he wants to do, because let's be clear, American Africans, this ain't your country. Oh, well, I built it, so it's mine. Okay, you keep staying here, and you keep trying to get this white man to love you, because he loves you as long as you stay in your place. Baba Oshi, I'm 66 years old. The police pulled me over, stopped me the other day. I'm scared. Why am I scared of a white boy that's half my age?
Because
he got a Glock 9mm on his hip, and he could have killed me. And guess what would have happened? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And if it did, I'm gone. Or if not that, I'm crippled. And this white boy wouldn't have went to jail because he feared for his life. Huh?
That's right.
And you got a Glock 9mm?
That's right. That's what he's producing. That's what he's talking about doing. You know, giving them the immunity, you know, for police.
Implied immunity.
Right. So, I mean, if they come to you and you don't sound right, you don't look right, and you make a bad move, they'll kill you.
Yeah.
And it'll be justified. If
Baba Oshi, if I'm afraid, I'm a grown man. I've been around the world. I was in the Air Force. I lived in England. I lived in Alabama. I lived in Chicago. In the military, I went all over the world. And if I'm afraid, how do you think how young people feel when they got this, you know, imagery that they're scared to death, especially if they riding dirty, you know, got something in the car that don't belong, or somebody in the car that's got a felony, or, I mean, not a felony, a warrant for them. So, my brother, what I'm saying is, we as American Africans, I think we need to come together as elders, not olders, because older is just somebody that got old. That's an old fool. I'm talking about elders, an old person who got old, who became wise, who didn't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You know, don't let your family members who are the closest to you, because the people the closest to you are the only ones that can hurt you. Put you in a box. Have a level of standards that you have, even mm-hmm. though it hurts. But mm-hmm. a standard is something. My dad was not my friend. My father was my father.
Right.
And I never understood that till he passed. And I love him to death. When I was old enough to beat him up, I respected him so much that I would never put a hand on my father. And if you did, I would hurt you.
Right.
But my father wasn't perfect. He never claimed to be perfect. He claimed to be who he was, and I had to accept him for who he was. And I hope my children accept me for who I am or who I've become.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never, ever, ever let anyone hurt them, say anything out the way to them, do anything wrong to them. And to the best of my knowledge, I've tried to help them move forward in life. Because Baba Oshie, that's all this is about. It's just the one time we get to go around is this one time we get to go around.
That's right.
The sun.
That's it.
So we have to leave our footprint in the sand. And the footprint that I want to leave is one that I believe in my people. I love African. Mm-hmm. I love African people. I love Africa. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hold their arms. Welcome home, brother. Welcome. I ain't saying all that. But what I am saying is mm-hmm. I'm tired of Africa being raped for their resources. I'm tired of Africans
right.
running around behind this blue-eyed, back straight mm-hmm, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going, brother. I'm tired of this skin lightening cream that they sell in Africa.
Yeah.
I'm tired of Africans coming over here saying Americans don't like us.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Constantly,
I don't like you.
Constantly
that,
sowing
who
the
told you that?
Constantly sowing the seeds of division, man. Constantly sowing the seeds of division. Mm-hmm.
Apartheid. Keep us apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same person that told you I didn't like you. It's the same person that told me that my hair, being kinky, needed to be straight. That my nose was too big for my face. That my skin was too dark for my body. The mm-hmm. same person told me that, told you that I don't like you. Mm-hmm. I've never met you, my brother. Except in spirit, because mm-hmm. we have something in common. And as long as we have something in common, we can walk in lockstep. But they want us to believe that we're separate. Oh, mm-hmm. he's light-skinned, he's dark-skinned, he's short, he's tall. Mm. Man, he's stupid, he's smart. No, we all are Africans, and we all have a place in this puzzle. We all fit in this puzzle. I mean, fit exactly, because the God I serve is a magnificent God. Doesn't make mistakes. Everything is here to show you something, to teach you something, to bring you to a certain place. But when you had a Rugu coming in trying to be God, that God come, I'm going to save Africa. We're going to give them some aid, Baba Oshie. Aid? Mm-hmm. Don't be a goddamn factory. I don't need no aid. I don't need you feed me no bread. I can bake my own bread. I was eating living in buildings before you were living in caves.
Right.
So stop it. But when you erase the history, you don't know that. And a man without a history is like a tree without roots. And I'm going to leave it right there, brother.
All right, my brother. All right, brother. Good to hear from you. Good to hear your voice, brother. Appreciate you, man. You know it.
You too, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
Timbuktu, Africa's intellectual hub. When European was drowning in the Dark Ages, Africa had Timbuktu, a flourishing center of learning and culture in present-day Mali. And you just heard Brother Irv talk about Mali. Mali is debt-free, okay? The University of Sankore housed over 700,000 manuscripts on everything from mathematics to medicine, astronomy, and philosophy. Scholars travel from across the world to study Timbuktu. The city was a beacon of knowledge and innovation, proving that Africa was not only civilized, but also a global leader in education. Medicine, Africa's contribution to healing. Long before modern medicine, African societies were pioneers in the medical field. The ancient Kemetic people performed complex surgeries and documented medical practices on papyri, scrolls that are studied to this day. Indigenous African medicine introduced the world to remedies that are still in use, such as quinine, derived from African plants, to treat malaria. Don't forget the remarkable use of the vaccine in West Africa. That's right. That's right. Vaccines, which were introduced in America through an enslaved Africans. Vaccines were introduced to America because of enslaved Africans. Mathematics and astronomy. African contributions to mathematics and astronomy are undeniable. The Shango bone, discovered in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, dates back 20,000 years and is considered one of the oldest mathematical tools in human history. It demonstrates early knowledge of arithmetic and prime numbers. In astronomy, ancient African civilizations, including the Dogon people of Mali, had an advanced knowledge of celestial bodies like the Sirius long before modern telescopes. The Sirius star, the dark star, the Sirius. Trade and economy. African empires like Mali, Songhai, and Ghana were economic powerhouses. Mansa Musa, the emperor of Mali, is still considered the richest man in history. His wealth was so vast that during his pilgrimage to Mecca, he gave away so much gold that it destabilized the economies of entire regions. Africa's trade network connected the continent to Europe, Asia, and the modern so-called the Middle East. Exchanged gold, ivory, spices, and knowledge. Architecture and metallurgy. Architecture and metallurgy. Africans were masters of metallurgy and architecture. The great Zimbabwe ruins, with their intricate stonework, showcased the architectural brilliance of the Shoha people. These structures were built without mortar, yet they stood for centuries. Metallurgy technology and techniques in places like Nok, which is Nigeria, and the Kingdom of Kush rival those of contemporary civilizations. Art and culture. The artistic contributions of Africa are unparalleled. From the Benin bronze to the Nok terracotta sculptures and the vibrant textiles of the Ashanti and the Yoruba people, Africa art has inspired global movements. Even modern art owes much of its roots to African aesthetics, as seen in the works of Picasso and other European artists who drew inspiration from African sculptures. Colonial theft and suppression. Colonial theft and suppression. Much of Africa's brilliance has been stolen, hidden, or suppressed. Colonizers looted treasures, burned libraries, rewrote history to paint Africa as primitive. The artifacts sitting in European museums today, stolen from African kingdoms, are stark reminders of the advanced civilizations that once flourished. The takeaway of all of this? Yeah. Africa is not uncivilized. It never was. The pyramids in Kemet, the streetlights in Benin, the manuscripts of Timbuktu, and the wealth of Mansa Musa all prove that Africa has always been a land of innovation, resilience, and brilliance. The narratives of African backwardness is nothing but a lie crafted to undermine the continent's legacy. It's time we reclaim, recapture, and restore. It's time we reclaim, recapture, and restore our history and speak boldly about the greatness of our ancestors. Africa was, is, and always will be a cornerstone of global civilization. And let no one tell you otherwise. Ashe. Ashe. That's a fact, Jack. Yeah, that's a fact. But of course, we've been trained to believe, just like Brother Irv said, the Caucasian suffers from cognitive dissonance, and so do we. His cognitive dissonance is that he believes that he is superior. For so long, after coming out of that medieval age, that dark age, when he had his renaissance and started going around the world, taking everybody's stuff in the name of, believed that he was superior and had the right to do so. Just like when he came here and his idea of manifest destiny. as he swept across this country, claiming things, not bartering, not borrowing, not anything like that, buying. No, he took. He just took it. And the people who were there, the human beings that were there, were savages and deserved to be eliminated. They reduced them to nothing, justifying in their minds, just like the piece, Exterminate All the Brutes, and that opening piece where they killed the Seminoles in the Florida region. Because a lot of Africans who escaped that, escaped down into Florida. Give us a call, 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, we got a number of you in the queue. If you want to have a conversation, hit star twice, and we can talk about whatever it is. You know. Yeah. So, understand, brothers and sisters, there's nothing we can do or say. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. Nothing that we can do or say would change that. It won't change it. You can provide as much evidence as you want. In their mindset, this is who we are. This is what we're about. This is what we're going to do. They run the world. And of course, one of the things that provided their ability to do that, development of superior weaponry. Development of superior, and in today's world, it's even deeper. Good afternoon.
Oshie, what's happening, man?
How you doing, Jay?
I'm all right. What you talking about today, man? I just tuned in, man, and
I'm talking about the contributions on my news feed. I'm talking about the contributions of Africa, because we've been led to believe that Africa was had never done anything, you know. And of course, we know that Africa was the birthplace of humanity. We know that Africa created so much, you know.
Who's pushing that narrative now?
Oh, it's been pushed for hundreds of years. That's the point. It's been pushed for hundreds of years that Africa was primitive. They had never done anything, you know. But yet, when you go to museums, you see all our artwork, you see all our contributions, you know, that Africans were backward, primitive, and so forth. All these things to justify.
And everything they done stole.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the pyramids, and of course, have you seen the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019 yet, Jay? No.
Nah, man, no. I'm not really into spending 2 or 3 hours.
No, you don't have to, Jay. You don't have to, man. You have the ability to watch a half hour of it, come back the next day or a little bit later, watch another half hour. You know, maybe you devote the whole a week of at least watching a half hour of it until you have it. You know?
I'm a binge watcher type person. I gotta watch it in one sitting, though. I'll just lose interest in it. But I may watch it. What is on YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. Go to YouTube, Great Pyramid K 2019. It tells you who built them and how they were built. It's fascinating. At least it's fascinating,
you know,
to
that's
me.
That's one of the things the white man has never been able to duplicate.
No, he can't duplicate it. He has no idea. But there was a Caucasian. Yeah, but there was a Caucasian who came up with the understanding that this is how they most likely could have been done. You know? That's the deal.
That just shows our greatness, man. How here it is. There's something that only African people could build and no one else. And I mean, it's like that. I think it was a statement. Who was it? Walter Williams had said something about proving that there was Jesus Christ or some madness he had ongoing, and nobody could ever dispute it with him. So factually, as he would say. I guess this is the same narrative in regards to dealing with the pyramids, you know. But I mean, hey man, we're great people, man.
No doubt.
We just don't know our greatness based on the manipulation, man. I had woke up and turned on my phone and then checked my news feed, man, and I'm getting all of these things about these two crackers, Joe Scarborough and Milton Belinsky, went to meet with Fredo, and now they're trying to normalize them or gonna make an attempt by saying some nonsense that we need to communicate and speak with them. All that. I mean, people just get played totally, man. You know, but hey, it is what it is. But yeah, it's kind of big news on the, you know, the outlets. But you know, we gonna move forward. I'm just wondering what is gonna happen with these 50,000-60,000 government workers who mostly will be black if this guy makes this move for them to lose their job, because unfortunately we as black people are in no position to hire them. We're in no position to give them jobs compatible to what they were making. I mean, most of those government workers make very good money with benefits. I wonder if they're going to be able to keep their pensions and things of that. I mean, this could be really decimating to a lot of black families.
No, there's no doubt about that, Jay. Let's see what happens.
I think what we need to see is our so-called black organizations and so-called black leaders speaking about
putting together
some sort of plan to help our people.
And that's what I just said.
That's what we really need. But get back to what you were saying. I don't want to take you off of course. But yeah, I'm going to definitely look into that documentary.
Please,
man. I hope that as you continue to put forward this message, people realize what you're saying.
Yeah.
The importance of having those spaces not only protected, but respected, man.
Mm-hmm.
So put me on hold. And,
All right, Jay. Appreciate you, dear brother.
Oh, listen, right quick. I wanted to give my condolences to both you and Ralph for a bad day yesterday. I didn't want to leave that out. Talk to you later.
All right, Jay. Yeah, I tell you, that was tough. That was tough, man. Anyway, the bottom line is, family, is that this is our responsibility. We as Africans, we must come together and agree on the concepts that we want to push forward to educate our children, to give them the knowledge of and pride of being who we are. You know, because we've been trained to believe that we had never done anything, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of any consequence, of any substance, and nothing could be furthest from the truth. Nothing. And so the people that have done that are the people that we are trying to persuade to do right, act right, be right, and to allow me to participate equally in your stuff. That ain't going to happen. Because one of the things that you should know by the history, the Caucasian ain't never been about sharing. That's not in his nature. Fairness. That's not who he is. What's righteous, truth, and just, that's not who he is, family. And he never has been and never will be. And that's our problem. We keep trying to make him. We keep trying to make him. Forget that. forget that. The things that we need to do before this decade is out, and then we only have now 5 years before 2030, is that we reverse this whole concept, and that African people on the continent break the chains that the European has had on our minds, to begin to look at each other not as different, quote, tribes, but look at each other as Africans. Now, if you are a certain group of people, that's fine, and that's what y'all do, that's fine. But nothing's more important than being African, not being Ashanti, not being whatever cultural group you are, no, but being African. Eliminate the barriers. Eliminate the fake boundaries that were established back at the Berlin Conference of 1884-85. The Berlin Conference, when Europeans sat in Berlin, Germany, in a room with a big ass map, and they begin to carve up Africa like a cake. And everybody wanted their pieces, with Belgium getting the prize piece, the Belgian Congo, right? That's what they call it, Belgium. The Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly called Zaire, is the prize piece, because there's more mineral wealth there than other parts. And understand this, that is in the center of Africa, and Africa was the center of Pangaea. You hear me? If you hip to Pangaea, Pangaea was when all the land masses were together, and they began this tectonic plates and shifting apart to where you see it today. I'm talking about something that happened millions of years ago. But Africa was the center. In fact, you could see where you could piece Africa with North America and South America. It's there. Africa was the center of that. That's why the African continent has all of the resources that everybody wants. Can't they do? Can't they think they can't do without? And they sure hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Just like that Caucasian I keep playing all the time, Howard Nichols said Africa must remain poor. We must make sure they never manufacture anything. And I'm saying to us, is this man is saying this, and yet, you know, we act like, okay, no, shut his ass up. Go beat his ass. Find out if he's still around and where he's making a presentation and bum rush his ass. But now, more importantly, hell with him. Don't worry about him. Let us come together. Let us educate ourselves about importance of unity, of self-determination, liberation, and develop sovereignty for African people. Sovereignty means that we control everything about us. We control it. We determine it. Nobody outside of us. You want something from us? You will pay fair market value. Or it could be a barter situation. You got these things? We need these things for our development. We have this. We can bring sanity to this crazy ass world. Because the Urugu is all about conflict and chaos and murder and destruction. That's what Urugu's about. But Africans should be about liberation and sovereignty, development. Not that somebody is in an economic system where there's a bunch of people at the top, you know, a small group of people at the top who have so much damn wealth, so much wealth, where the majority of the people at the bottom have nothing. Then there's a middle, quote, middle class, and these people act as a buffer, because they want to be like those who are way at the top. And now, You know, when a millionaire, back when we were kids, for those of us who are over 70, back when we were kids, when we were 60-some years ago, 10 years old, five, that was a lot. Now there was a few billionaires. I believe that Rockefeller possibly could be one of, because of Standard Oil, possibly. I don't know. But the point I'm making here is that in today's world, there's a bunch of them. $1 billion. $1 billion. Some of them multi. The top ones, of course, Jeff Bezos. I don't even talk about these folks. It sickens me. It just sickens me. Where these individuals have such tremendous amounts of wealth at the expense of humanity. It sickens me. And many people believe that that's the kind of model, that's the kind of economic system that we should have. No, it's not. It's not. The economic system we should have, where human beings put into it and they afford it based upon their needs to live a decent life with decent housing, with decent infrastructure, with food, nutritious food, water, clean water, the ability and to move. It could be public transportation. Not necessarily mean car. You got to have a car, and the baddest car in the world is that's what I got. It was interesting when you talked about the problems with climate and the cars and you know, spewing the fluorocarbons into the air, causing, you know, the global warming that you see. And yet, they were starting to build bigger cars. They were building trucks. You know? Instead of small cars that were more fuel efficient and talking about changing the dynamics of fuel so it doesn't spew out lead into the air and other things that would contaminate the air and cause the issues and problems that we see today. And now you have somebody who is in the White House, who's the leader of the so-called Western world, who has been a climate denier, and many of the people in his circle are the same. and to me, it's very foolish to be a climate denier at this particular time and place because of what you see happening with the weather. What you see, what's going on. If they're saying there's a climate change and they're showing you statistically that it is, but yet you deny it still, they don't give a damn about humanity. They don't even give a damn about other Caucasians. Oh, yes, they want their people to be around, not to any significant numbers, but to those who have the wealth, those who have it. So, brothers and sisters, as we begin to wind down to this program, on Wednesday, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix, will be my guest. And he has some interesting things that he wants to talk about, you know. I always enjoy having Brother Franklin Jones on as a guest. Yeah, the Black People's Matrix. So, yeah. So, brothers and sisters, as we close this particular program, I want you to understand clearly and that you talk with other brothers and sisters in a positive manner about Africa. It's going to change. This dynamic, I think, has to change. It has to change because if it doesn't, we will be doomed as a people. It has to begin to have brothers and sisters who have that shared vision of a one Africa. Not just one country or this country or that. No, the continent itself. And begin to get people out who shouldn't be there. You know, I've seen where, you know, I'm quite sure Africans who go to China to study, particularly in other parts of the world, go to study, you know, those, because we've, you know, because of what Caucasians have done to the world despises being dark. They made having melanin something evil, and having melanin is, let me say it this way, I'll say it this way, superior. You have some superiority as a human being to those who don't have it. And Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, who I read in the NASM this morning, talking about how important it is to guide the children, but she said also that they recognized that they were melanin deficient, causing an innate fear when they went around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of, and then having sex with the women and the offspring that didn't look like them, to cause an innate fear in them of genetic annihilation. Genetically, we are superior. Genetically, melanin. Watching, oh, you should get, I know he's an ancestor now, but Dr. Layla Africa. And there's other one. There's other brothers and sisters that talk about melanin and the importance of melanin. You know, I tell you, we don't know how blessed we really are, because we've been trained to believe that we are not. That even to this day, as I'm speaking at this moment, there are still many of us who are using bleaching creams. Have you seen Serena lately, man? Shit, Serena looking scary. Using bleaching creams. Try to get lighter. Try to look like the white man. Man, it's deep. Oh, let me catch this brother before we get up out of here. Brother Paul, how you doing, my brother? How you doing?
How you doing, Bob Ochi? How's things?
Good, good. How was your weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm alive and kicking, so I have to give thanks.
Right on. Same here, dear brother. Always give thanks. We're here to talk about it, at least.
Yeah. Absolutely. Give thanks for life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bob Ochi, I did actually, I'm going to take some time out to watch the whole of that video you referred
Please
to many
do.
Times. But I did actually watch, I think I watched half the way through of it.
Okay.
But the thing is, yeah, for me, I mean, I absolutely, you see, this is the thing. I absolutely know the role we played, but the thing is, it's much deeper than that. You see, that's the problem I have with it. It's much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for instance, I come from a point of my basis would always be everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fundamental point which I start from. You know what I mean? And for me personally, if one isn't starting from that point, one is dealing with aesthetics. They're just looking at the end result. They're mm-hmm. not looking at the deeper meaning of what's going on.
Okay.
Everything is energy. Everything is energy. Everything. You know, if one can't see it from that point of view, meaning that these people didn't just build these things, spend all this time for aesthetics. There's a purpose behind it. There was a mm-hmm. whole role behind
sure.
it.
Sure.
And if you learn, if one learns about the pyramid and what the construction of the pyramid actually means, even before the actual monument, the shape,
mm-hmm.
all these shapes which we're seeing is in nature. That the triangle, for instance, is in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's in mathematics.
Right.
369.
Mm-hmm.
369 are vortex, is to do with vortex mathematics. They're special numbers. You know, and the triangle represents the number three.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we use the Holy Trinity. This is why we use all these terminology. These are just terminologies so people can understand. But if you take it down to its basic, it boils down to energy. So for me, I watched that video, but the reality of it is I knew these things already, and mm-hmm. it's much deeper than that. I mean, you can talk about the stone buildings in Zimbabwe, which are maybe right. even older than the pyramids.
Right.
And you can talk about the cones. What were they using them cones for? They were using them cones for sound.
Right.
Sound and light. Sound, right? We see light, but light comes from sound. Most people don't even understand this. Light is formed through vibration, which is sound. Everything is energy. So what is more interesting to me is what were they doing down there? You know, they have found in Africa, right? They've found places where they've discovered uranium, and the scientists said they were mining it. That's over 20,000 years ago. You're telling me about the pyramids. That's 20,000
right,
years ago.
Right.
I've read that in their, not in our books, in their books. They have found, let me repeat it again. They have found mines where they found uranium, mm-hmm. and they have concluded that they were mining that, mining uranium.
Right.
See, my thing is this, yeah? My thing is this. This is the bottom line. This is I asked you a question last week. How the hell can we trust anything which comes from our adversaries?
Exactly.
Most of this information they've taught us in these schooling, fooling systems
are lies.
They're just lies. Mm. They're lies. What they have told us about us is just hocus pocus and fairy tales. Look, I hate to say this, and we ain't got a lot of time. Look at the biggest thing we still worship to this day. We will fight over this creation, Jesus Christ, and all these religions. We will die over that, and it's all hocus pocus.
Right.
Can you imagine where our state of our minds? I'm just showing you the state of our minds. Baba Ochi, you know that. I don't have to
right.
question it. You are a man. I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm talking to you. You know 1,000,000% today, most of us are in hocus pocus and fairy tales.
Right.
Mine ain't. Right, so my point is this. If we are still stuck on these hocus pocus and fairy tales, why should we believe anything about ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
We've been told absolute lies. The pyramids are just, they don't even represent a fraction of what we've done in the past. You know, we don't even talk about Atlantis. Atlantis, they have found those same pyramids under the sea in Atlantis. They
mm-hmm.
found them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Atlantis was about. That's what Atlantis was about. You know, this is what I'm saying. These things, yeah. You know, we were just being lied to. And I saw an African one day, a chief said, there was an African mystery system. In the African mystery system, he was telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that a story which was passed down to him, we were the people who came from somewhere else, meaning not this planet, not this planet. Look, this thing is so deep, right? We don't even have the minds to deal with it. You can't even start talking these stories. They tell you that there was life on Mars, but they don't tell you the rest of it. They tell you when they put satellites up, they saw pyramids on Mars. So who do you think built them? Listen, man, we don't even know the half
right.
of what's happened to us or where we've been or how we got it. Do you think, right, this planet doesn't even represent a grain of sand? It doesn't even represent a grain of sand in the solar system. And you think there's no life out there?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You see how they've fooled our minds? They've totally warped our minds. I mean, it's totally illogical to even think there's not life out there. It's illogical. But that's how they've got us, because they have entrapped us in this matrix of control and power. And we've got to break out of it.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I think it starts with right now in our minds, we've got to change the narratives. Change it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You got to, man. I mean, the information
is
there.
You've got to change the narrative.
The information is there.
It's there.
It's
right in front of our
faces.
But because they have totally brainwashed us, we can't see it. We are still stuck on hocus pocus, telling us about these hocus pocus fairy tale characters which never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're stuck. And they've done that to us. And we're still on it. We will fight over it, argue over it, go to church on Sunday and buck up our knees over it like we're totally out of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Totally out of our minds. And that's where we're at. Most of us are that's where we're at. And it's hard to break people out of it. But you know what? It's a waste of time breaking it. We've got to take an example from the Chinese.
That's
the
right.
Chinese, they just cut them off. Just done with them and moved on. That's what we have to do.
That's
it's a waste
right.
of time trying to convert them. Done
yeah.
them. and move on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Brother Paul. Have a good day, my brother. Hope to see you on Wednesday, man. Brother Franklin will be with us, man, so hope you can make it. All right, Brother Paul. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace.